Welcome to session number 19 in our seminar on Christian decision-making. In this session, Lord willing, we will cover two more biblical guidelines for making right decisions. Number 23, or W, don't expect an answer from the Lord if you're only a foxhole or SMO Christian. And number 24, or X, the right decision is often not popular. The right decision is often not popular. Well, let's begin with number 23, or W. Don't expect an answer if you're only a foxhole or schmo Christian. So what's a foxhole or schmo or SMO Christian? The proverbial foxhole Christians are those Christians who typically only come to the Lord for direction when they are in trouble. The expression, of course, comes from warfare, in reference to soldiers who don't pray and don't think much about God until they are in a foxhole under fire. But when the bullets are flying overhead, then they pray and ask God for help. A schmo Christian is the proverbial Sunday morning only Christian. Get it? SMO Christian. Schmo Christians live worldly lives for themselves during the whole week, but then come to church on Sunday morning thinking that they are giving God his portion and expect God's guidance in return. Listen, don't expect an answer in your decision-making process if you are only a foxhole or schmo Christian. Don't expect an answer from the Lord if that's your position. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 28, where we can see this biblical guideline. 1 Samuel chapter 28. In this chapter, King Saul wrongly consulted the witch of Endor about his upcoming battle with the Philistines. I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 28, beginning with verse 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, his own city, and Saul had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. So the Philistines gathered together and came and camped in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together and they camped in Gilboa. When Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Seek for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Behold, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor." From 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 3 through 7. Notice again, verse 6, when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. So why didn't the Lord answer King Saul in his hour of need? Answer? Because King Saul was a foxhole or schmo-type believer. He only wanted God's help in his decision-making process when he was in trouble. At other times, he made his own selfish decisions without consulting the Lord. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 13, remember, Saul was supposed to wait at Gilgal for the prophet Samuel to come down and offer sacrifices before they went into battle. But Samuel was delayed. So what did Saul do? He did his own thing. He made a wrong decision to offer the sacrifices by himself. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, King Saul again made a wrong decision and did his own thing. He decided to only partially obey the Lord concerning the matter of bringing the Amalekites to justice. No wonder the Lord did not answer King Saul here in chapter 28. And no wonder God allowed Samuel to come back from the dead to pronounce Saul's death. Read the rest of the chapter in this connection. King Saul only looked to the Lord for help in his decision-making process when he was under the gun. And even then he tended to make his own selfish decisions, even consulting a witch here in chapter 28. Now compare that to David in 1 Samuel chapter 23. When David fought the Philistines out in the wilderness and had to make a major decision. I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 23, beginning with verse 1. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are plundering the threshing floors." So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and deliver Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the ranks of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord once more. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, and he led away their livestock and struck them with a great slaughter. Thus David delivered the inhabitants of Keilah. From 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. So why did the Lord answer David, but not King Saul? Answer, because David did not look to the Lord only as a last resort. David was not a foxhole or schmo believer. He was a man after God's own heart. Now, what about us? Do we want the Lord's help in our decision-making process? Don't expect an answer from the Lord if you're only a foxhole or a Sunday morning only Christian. Illustration. I remember counseling a young man who came to me after a sermon I gave at his church. Now, I can't remember what portion of scripture I spoke from, but he was going through a decision-making process that concerned the possibility of going to graduate school, and he wanted my advice. He wanted to know whether he should go to medical school or law school. And he essentially told me that the Lord was not giving him direction as to what he should choose. Well, it didn't take long for me to realize why God was not giving him direction. His bottom line was where he would make the most money, as a lawyer or as a doctor. He was not a committed Christian. He was a schmo Christian, a Sunday morning only Christian. He wasn't really interested in what the Lord wanted him to do with his life. He only wanted God's stamp of approval on where he would make the most money. To this day, I don't know what decision he made. But one thing I do know, unless he changed his attitude and as a Christian became more committed to discipleship, he did not get specific direction from the Lord, because you can't expect an answer from the Lord if you're only a foxhole or schmo Christian, Sunday morning only Christian. Our next biblical guideline for making right decisions is number 24, or X. The right decision is often not popular. The right decision is often not popular. Would you agree? So why is this true? Well, first of all, let's consider the bottom line reason as to why this fact is true. That is, why so often our right decisions are not popular. The bottom line reason, or the basic reason, is because of this world system. The world that we are warned against in Scripture is by definition a system of values and attitudes that is contrary to the values and attitudes of the Word of God. For example, the world says, if you want to be great, make decisions that will promote yourself and get you ahead in this world. Is that what the Bible says? God says, if you want to be great, then serve one another. I'm reading from Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 42. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." From Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. So the world says, if you want to be great, get authority, lord it over others. That's the world system of values and attitudes, contrary to the Bible, contrary to the values and attitudes of Scripture. If you want to be great, serve one another. Another example. The world says, seek first to meet your own physical and emotional needs in order to be happy and satisfied. And a lot of Christians tend to believe that. God's word says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all your basic needs will be met. Matthew 6:33. Quite a difference. So because we make our decisions in this world, and because we are surrounded by this world's system of values and attitudes, our major decisions in life will often be unpopular. Remember figure 21. This is the way it is. So because we make our decisions in this world with its system of values and attitudes, decisions that we make will be unpopular. They will be politically incorrect. They will be ridiculed. They will be opposed. And for sure, they will be unpopular. No wonder we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, don't be surprised if the world hates you. 1 John 3:13. And remember the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. From John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. So we can see why our decisions that we make will very often be unpopular, because we make our decisions in this world. And this world's system of values and attitudes is opposed, is in contrast to the system of values and attitudes that we find in Scripture. Let's look at a couple of biblical examples for this guideline. Now, two biblical examples immediately come to mind, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. Two biblical characters. Can you guess who they are? All of you are about to say it. Elijah from the Old Testament and John the Baptist from the New Testament. Elijah from the Old Testament and John the Baptist from the New Testament. Both of these believers made right decisions in line with God's word, but both made unpopular decisions. And as a result, they themselves were unpopular. Now, they were looked on with favor by the community of true believers, but they were hated by the ruling authorities in this world because of their right decisions. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. Here in 1 Kings chapter 19, we have the response of wicked King Ahab and Queen Jezebel to Elijah's right decision to rid Israel of the false prophets of Baal. I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. From 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. So Elijah made some decisions that were not very popular. In fact, he had to run for his life from Jezreel all the way down to Mount Horeb. Very unpopular decision in reference to the ruling authorities. And we too will make unpopular decisions if we have the courage to do it, if we have the courage to make these right decisions. Now, you may think that this could never happen to us. After all, we're not like the great prophet Elijah. Think again. James 5:17 says that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. That is, he was subject to the same fears and temptations that we face, but he made the right decisions, even knowing that these right decisions would not be popular. And we should do the same, knowing that a number of our decisions will not be popular. Many illustrations could be given, all the way from decisions we make within our families to positions we take in reference to world affairs. For example, as parents, the right decisions we make in reference to our teenagers will not always be popular. As to curfew, TV guidelines, party regulations, etc., etc. Making the right family decisions is not always easy, especially when you know the decisions will not be popular. And decisions we make in reference to world affairs will not always be popular. A good example of an unpopular decision you make in reference to world affairs would be the position you take in reference to Israel. Being pro-Israel because the Jews are God's special people is not exactly popular these days, even in some Christian circles. Now, to stand with Israel does not mean that we condone everything that the present secular state of Israel does. No, far from it. But Israel certainly has a right to exist and defend itself as a nation. And they are not occupiers of Palestinian-owned lands, as the media would have us believe. And there is coming the day when there will be a spiritual revival in the secular state of Israel, and many will turn to the Lord. God still has plans for the nation of Israel. The church is not the new Israel. Israel is Israel. Read Romans chapter 11 in this connection. Now, if you take that position today, it is considered by many to be politically incorrect and quite unpopular, even as we said, by some believers. So many of our decisions in all kinds of areas, whether it be family matters or world affairs, will be unpopular. Our New Testament example is John the Baptist. John the Baptist in the New Testament made decisions that were right but unpopular. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." From Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now let me ask you, how do you think John the Baptist came across with the establishment? Very unpopular. John the Baptist was recognized as a prophet by the godly in Israel and those who were willing to repent of their sins and the sins of the nation. But John the Baptist was hated by the ruling authorities because he denounced them for their hypocrisy. And then think of what led to John the Baptist's martyrdom. I'm reading from Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 16. "But when Herod heard of it, he kept saying, 'John, whom I beheaded, has risen.' For Herod himself had sent and had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.' Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death and could not do so, for Herod was afraid of John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. And when he heard him, he was very perplexed, but he used to enjoy listening to him. A strategic day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his lords and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. And when the daughter of Herodias herself came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. And the king said to the girl, 'Ask me for whatever you want, and I will give it to you.' And he swore to her, 'Whatever you ask of me, I will give it to you, up to half of my kingdom.' And she went out and said to her mother, 'What shall I ask for?' And she said, 'The head of John the Baptist.' Immediately she came in a hurry to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And although the king was very sorry, yet because of his oaths and because of his dinner guests, he was unwilling to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded him to bring back his head. And he went and had him beheaded in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard about this, they came and took away the body and laid it in a tomb. From Mark chapter 6, verses 16 through 29. Well, you can be sure that John the Baptist's decision to denounce Herod for his adultery was not a popular decision. In fact, we see that it led to his death. But it was the right decision. Listen to how the Lord commends John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 2. Now when John, while in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me." As these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Well, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." From Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. As far as the Lord was concerned, and that's what really counts, John made the right decisions, even though he and his decisions or anything but popular with the establishment. And the same will be true in our lives. The right decisions are often not popular. The right decision is often not popular. Illustration. You know, in the academic world, if you dare to go against the establishment in the area of origins and question evolution, or if you dare to quote the Bible authoritatively, you are not only politically incorrect and unpopular, but you may even lose your job as well. Many of today's courageous Elijahs and John the Baptist have found this to be the case. And in the moral area, if you question sexual orientation in any way that is negative, you're going to be unpopular for sure. You know, I remember writing to the editor of our local newspaper in the Chicago area, when the local school board was moving in the direction of opening the doors to a policy of no sexual orientation questions allowed in the guidelines for hiring teachers for your children. My letter to the editor merely showed logically what would take place step by step down the road with such a policy. They wouldn't publish my letter. It was too logical. Now, if I had written a scathing letter denouncing gays or something to that effect, they certainly would have printed the letter. They love to print letters that they consider coming from narrow-minded fundamentalist preachers and Bible thumpers. But I guess they figured my letter was too logical, showing the tip of an iceberg that could cause lots of future problems for the school system and its policies. And that has proved true. Needless to say, confronting the sinful moral standards of our society will not make you a popular person. And your letters to the editor, or articles that you write, or statements that you make that are in line with the Bible will not be popular. Right decisions are often not popular. That's our guideline, right? The right decision is often not popular. In our next lecture, we will take up our final two biblical guidelines for making right decisions.